Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington. Close your eyes and remember a time when you experienced an indescribable moment, a moment that connected you with the same energy that creates worlds, an unforgettable moment that you felt the power of creation itself. A moment when you felt connected to heaven and earth. You probably were overwhelmed with emotion. Every cell in your body was in harmony with all of God's creatures. You're happy. You're at peace. When those moments happen to me, I start crying. But they're crying. I'm crying because the feeling is so overwhelming. Can you remember moments like that in your life? Reality Spirituality, this show is about creating more of those moments, more of those moments in every single day. And I believe that, yes, we can. We can feel connected. We can feel that good. We can feel empowered. We can feel the energy of the universe if that's our choice. But Reality Spirituality, that's what this show teaches, how to have more of those moments. Not moments, let's just call it being happy. How do we get happier? Is it possible? The answer is yes. And my guest today, it's one of her passions, Barbara Berger. She's been a regular on the show and a great friend to Reality Spirituality. But she has been a seeker all of her life. And in all of her books, they're based on the same thing, trying to find a way out of suffering. Her books and The Awakening Human Being, A Guide to the Power of Mind, and Are You Happy Now? Listen, on my bookcase, and they're so red and reread and tattered and pulled apart and earmarked. I mean, I love the way she explains in a very simple way, in very easy to understand everyday experiences. And today we're going to focus on how to create more flow in our lives, which is really important. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Flowing, and when you're flowing, you are connected. Barbara Berger, welcome to Reality Spirituality. Good to talk to you again. Hello.
Hello. What a great introduction. It was really, really beautiful, really, really poetic, very, very well said. I just loved everything you said.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, that was just spot on. We're totally connected. I only send you one sentence, and then you just took it from there. It was perfect, my dear. Perfect.
And you know what's so important? Because we're seeking. I've been seeking all of my life a feeling, this feeling, wanting to feel good, wanting to be happy all the time. Is it possible?
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting pretty close, Barbara.
That's where we're headed. We're doomed to enlightenment. We're all headed for joy. More and more. I mean, the more we get this, I mean, we're it's like a tractor beam. It's drawing us. It's the higher self drawing us to itself. It's inevitable.
Inevitable. It is, and it's coming home. It's basically coming home to who we really are.
The only question is, how much are we going to kick and scream on the way, or are we just going to let go and let God, right? I mean, that's
Well, we talked before, but let me just remind my audience, I went kicking and screaming most of my life, holding on for who knows what and why, but only because I didn't know any better.
Tell us a bit more. What do you mean by kicking and screaming? In what way?
Kicking and screaming meaning resisting reality, resisting, in other words, trying to control this glorious life that I have, wanting other than what I had, trying to be in charge, quite frankly. And what I've discovered is, I don't have any control over what happens to me in this life, but what I do have control over is my perception of what happens in this life, my attitude, my response to what happens in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I also have control over setting my own personal vibration, but other than that, I don't have any control. I don't have any power.
Well, I mean, you've become a very wise woman, because everything you said is absolutely, absolutely spot on, right on target. I mean, it's the only thing that we have control over. It's the way we relate. How do we hold the events that arise before us? And, I mean, when we know that, we also realize that outer circumstances and events, they actually have, they don't have any inherent meaning. It's the way we hold them that makes them the experience that we have. I mean, it's just so amazing when you get that. That is like the key to freedom. I mean, it's just the fact that you get it, the fact that I get it, the ramifications of that, just that one understanding, it changes absolutely everything. It's so fundamental. It's so big. I mean, it's really, that is the awakening consciousness. That's what you just said. That is awakening. To understand that, man, congratulations. I mean, you say it also so clearly. So, I mean, Rebecca.
Well, can you repeat what you said earlier? You said something about you're a wise woman. What? I can never hear that too much. But no, I'm actually just joking with you. But thank you so much for that. And one of the most important things that I had to do, which I'm just got my left hand up in the air, I'm just telling the truth, I was a control freak, trying to control myself, trying to control others, trying to control everything. And one of the hardest things, one of the toughest things for me to do was to let go of that steering wheel and allow the universe to take control, but let go.
Well, it usually doesn't happen until you hit quite a few brick walls pretty hard, right? I mean, there has to be... You know, there has to be some kind of catalyst that makes you realize that this is probably not the most constructive behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, is there anything you would like to share? What was the defining moment for you, or was there a defining moment where you started to realize that that was not really, going to get you where you really wanted to go?
That is a really, really good question, and for me, there wasn't a defining moment. I have to say there aren't any defining moments. This is for me, and one of the things I like to say on the show is we are as different as our fingerprints. We all are on a journey, a unique journey. But for me, I wanted two things. I wanted to live to my potential, and I wanted to be happy. And so I wanted to be happy so bad that the universe has led me to, okay, you want to be happy? let go of control. You want to be happy? Surrender. You want to be happy? No more expectations. Mm-hmm. Be happy? Comparing. You want to be happy? And so for me, that's how it went for me. It's just,
how it's gone for me too, little by little by little. I mean, some people have, you know, when you ask them this question, some people have a defining moment where, you know, it's like, holy shit, they suddenly have this great sort of insight, or else they've had some really great tragedy or something has happened. But I hear that you and I were very alike in that way too. I mean, I've had a lot of crises and traumas and different kind of dramatic things happening in my life, but it's also been little by little by little that sort of deconstructing the house that ego built. I like to say it like that.
Ooh, I like the way you said that. What, are you a writer? Deconstructing the house that the ego built. What a beautiful, beautiful. Yes.
Yeah. And that's actually what we're doing all the time with these conversations, the books, everything that we're doing, we're deconstructing the house that ego built. And as we deconstruct it, more and more of the radiance, the beauty, the life force, the more and more of what our true nature is shines through, because it's been there all along. It's just us with all our crazy expectations and the negative programming that we've been subjected to, all of these things that have sort of been blocking the light. So you know, when you get on this pathway, it's also like a tractor belt. I mean, you go faster and faster as you get closer and closer to the light, because there's less and less to block the light. You and I were really moving fast, sweetie, and that's flow. We're talking about flow,
that
right?
That is flow.
flow.
Yeah, flow. And do you know what that? One of the things, this is how the universe works with me, and it's just they're such assholes, excuse me, but they really are, because they know what I need to work on.
And in other words, they know how to ring your bells, right?
They know how to push my buttons, and they know exactly what to do to me to make me okay. Now I got that, all right. Which I would like to share a really short story that happened just this morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This has something to do with flowing and being able to flow. But one of my big issues is patience. And not having patience. Now, I could have patience for certain things, but specifically patience with slow people. I mean, I really have to stay conscious with, really have to. So I took the day off of work, and I was going to the bank. And at my bank, there is a drive-up window. Now, the person in front of me was already being, taken care of, and so I have to wait for the person in front of me. And I sat there for a while, and it was taking a little bit of long time, and I was waiting very patiently because I know that's something I need to work on. And honestly, this whole patience thing just comes right back to me. I mean, I have to look at myself and be patient with myself, but that's another story. So I'm sitting there in the car, and I'm waiting. I said, you know, I could go into the bank and just not have to wait. I could just walk in and go in as opposed to waiting. I said, no, I'm gonna practice patience. I'm gonna practice just waiting here. And I mean, it wasn't like I had an appointment. So I sat there, and then finally, 5, 6, 7 minutes later, it was my turn. I pull up to the window, and this gentleman says, "Give me your information, your bank card. What do you need?" I needed money orders. I needed to withdraw. So he went through all this stuff, and he wrote down all the amounts. And then he walked away, probably 3-4 minutes. You know, I'm into patience. So it was about 3-4 minutes. Comes back, asked me some more questions, walked away again. And then a woman came. And she says, we can't help you in the drive-through window if you have more than one transaction. And I said, well, Yeah, I said, well, because I've done it before. I said, well, I've done this before. She said, well, we had a complaint of people waiting too long, and you're going to have to come into the bank. So now, yeah. Well, listen, Barbara, come on, it gets better. The universe knows how to fuck with me. It gets better. So I walk into the bank, and I'm cool. I'm still cool.
Why didn't you follow your first impulse? That's what I would say, which was to go into the bank. I mean, already there you were sort of, you know, going against universal intel. And who said that patience is so good in those situations? I mean, I'm really impatient too, and I'm not really following you why you made those choices. It's more like, sound to me like bashing yourself. In other words, your inner guidance said go into the bank.
Okay.
You said that at the beginning of the story that you had the impulse to go into the bank, and I would have just. Why didn't you go with that?
Well, because I wouldn't have been alerted to this great lesson.
Okay,
see,
I'm listening. Let's go.
Yeah, but I totally understand following my inspiration, but I don't know, it just like, okay, thank you, universe. I'm really appreciative of this, because in reality, I'm just going to be happier. This is okay, so because they're talking to me. They're still talking to me. So I walk into the bank. And she says, you can just walk right in. We don't have to wait. Walk into the bank, and there's people in front of me. And I do have to wait. And then I get the same guy who is slower than molasses, counting out money each coin at a time, handing me my money order slow. And the interesting thing for me, the universe really wants me to be able to be okay with as slow as anyone is. If this guy wants to stand there and fold each money order one at a time and hand it to me slowly and hand me my change slowly, they really want me to be okay with all of that.
Okay. I'm listening. And that's the story?
Well, that is the story because there's more. I can tell you more things why this guy was so slow and counting and all this other stuff. But in other words, that's something that I recognize and I really want to be able to relax and accept each moment, no matter what that moment brings, even if it's slow people.
Okay, I hear you. Well, I mean, I see other things, but that's okay. I mean, if that's what it spoke to you, then that's what it spoke to you. I mean, I think that for me, being in flow is when I'm in flow, those situations don't arise so much, because listening to my inner guidance more. I mean, for me, flow is, you know, listening to my inner guidance and following those, like you said at the beginning, why don't I just park the car and go in?
Mm-hmm.
That was the flow moment that you. It sounds to me like you overlooked, but okay, you were looking for something else, obviously, and you got what you were looking for, as far as I can hear. So that's great. I mean, did you feel that you were in flow then? Doesn't sound like it.
Well,
you were kind of gritting your teeth.
this is the thing, and I totally understand what you're saying. When he started folding the money orders and he started holding, you know, the change and counting one by one, I was not as connected as I was prior to getting there. I was definitely connected in the car. I was definitely connected while I got up and went to the bank, even though I had to wait for 5 or 6 minutes before. I was definitely connected, but as soon as the folding of the money orders and the counting the change flow, I'm like, okay, you're absolutely right. But that's what they want me to that's what they want me to learn.
But the thing is, when you're in flow and when you have the wind at your back, when you have less resistance, things don't arise in that way as much. That's my experience. I mean, those kind of sort of, you're talking about sort of naughty situations, right? I mean, not that you can't deal with it. Of course you can. But it's more the fact that they even arise like that. How come you didn't come when it was somebody who was more, you know, speedy and flow, and why weren't you at the front of the line? I mean, it's really interesting to notice the small things that are going on around us, how they're kind of, you know, reflecting our mental states and how much in flow and how much resistance is in us, because it sounds to me like that was like a lot of resistance in that situation. It's not exactly, you know, where you're feeling joy, flow, and all the things you said at the beginning of the show, right? You said some things about when we feel in flow, right? It's like I always picture it like, you know, like you've got this wave, like you're surfing and it's behind you and you're not afraid and you go with that wave. It's when we turn around and sort of, as you say, want to try to control the wave, or how fast is it going to go, or can I manage this? And then the resistance comes, and then we crash. You know, the wave throws us off. So I don't know. For me, the exercise is much more try to get into that high state and then do stuff.
I'm understanding everything that you're saying. Let me just give you a really quick example. My neighbors behind me, they put their trash can in front of their house. Now, two years ago, oh my God, they would just send me up the wall because A, it looks terrible, and B, for whatever reason, I'm very, you know, beauty. So why would you put a trash can by your front door? Now, today, when their trash can is by their front door, I can look at that trash can and be okay. And I mean, it doesn't even faze me. And so that's what I mean when I say getting my lessons. And because the universe already told me, the next time you're at a teller, if he's going slow, it's not going to bother you. You are going to flow with all of it. And my journey is lessons learned. And to be, now if I told you the same story a week from now or 2 weeks from now, and this guy was so slow, and then I skipped through the whole thing, that's what I'm talking about, my personal evolution. But I totally understand what you're saying.
Let's just go back to with the trash can and the neighbors. I mean, again, I don't know the whole backstory and the situation, but are you saying that we can't be assertive and ask for what we want? I mean, that you couldn't go over and talk to the neighbor about, you know, that this is, you would really think it would be a good thing for the view and the neighbor? I mean, I've had some issues with my neighbors, and I try to talk to them, and it actually helps to ask for what you want. So again, being accepting of reality doesn't mean, as far as I can see, that we can't, you know, that accepting what is more like taking stock of what is. It doesn't mean that we're going to just lay down and let everybody trample over us, as far as I can see. But having healthy boundaries and being able to be assertive and say, you know, this doesn't feel right to me, I'd really like this. I mean, we can't ever make changes or get other people to cooperate with us if we don't even ask. I mean, they can say yes and they can say no, and then we have to deal with that. But so I'm not quite understanding the trash can thing. I mean,
I'll tell you why you're not understanding the trash can or the bank.
Okay.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because you're not me. Because
brilliant answer.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah.
Great answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah.
And my issues are that's one of the things. My issues are totally different. And for me, I don't see. I think we talked about this before, but I was never one to be passive and let anybody walk all over me. That's just not my nature. I was the other one. I was the one that walked on doormats.
That's you said that. Yeah.
Right, right, right. So that's not my thing. So my thing is trying to control. And when you're, you know, for me, my whole thing is staying out of everybody else's business. That's their trash can. That's what they want to do. I can do whatever I want in my house, but trying to get someone else to do something that I want them to do is one of the things that I have to let go of. Maybe not you. Mm. I definitely have to let go of that. Yeah. See, we're so different.
But I think that also that the way you are framing it is very black and white. You're framing it as either you're hell on wheels, like you say you are, or you're extremely passive and can't, you know, you're a doormat and let everybody walk all over you. But I think that as we become more skillful in dealing with the world, that there is the moderate, you know, sort of in-between position, which the psychologically mature person sort of gets to master, where you're not a doormat, you're not completely passive, you don't let people trample all over you, and you're not in the other, as you say, the hell on wheels, bossy type, but that you can express in a skillful means. It's really, I think that one of our biggest challenges is our communication skills are so poor, most of us. We've never learned how to communicate in a good way, ask for what we want and, you know, listen to what the other person has to say. And, I mean, that whole thing. So I don't think I would frame it as an either or. I hear what you're saying, that you feel that you've been way over in the one extreme, and I certainly understand what you're saying, and I certainly have been way over on the other extreme, but don't you think we could meet in the middle? I mean,
but this is the thing. Your middle is different than my middle.
Okay, so explain that. If we have the two points that you actually, as far, I was trying to listen to what you were saying. You said hell on wheels, that was, I remember we have talked about it before, that you were always minding other people's business and blah, 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 and that I have been much more the other type. So what would the middle be then? You're saying that your middle is different than my middle?
You know what? Because for me, middle... I get what you're saying, but for me, the middle, the whole concept middle to me, I don't know, middle. what I'm feeling is I know totally who I used to be, and I'm so proud of who I am now. I mean, I marvel, and I'm not bragging about it, but I marvel at the person who I am now. And my purpose for me, my purpose is to be an example of the universe and is to be the universe. Now, does the universe, I don't know, this is my thing. Does the universe allow everything to happen? Does the universe allows everything to happen? The great events, the events that we label catastrophic. And so my growth is about allowing myself and allowing others to be who they are without judgment and just acceptance. That's my journey. So
it's great.
So how
that's great. I mean, it t- So, I mean, that's like your spiritual practice, you're saying, is acceptance. And, I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with it. One of my favorite teachers is a man named David Hawkins. I don't know if you know him. If you don't,
no.
I highly recommend. No, okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he's a great spiritual teacher who has written Truth versus Falsehood, Power versus Force. I mean, he's got, his books are just mind-boggling, and he calibrates the different levels of consciousness and so on. But as he says, and one spiritual practice, one simple thing that you make up your mind to be your guiding light is enough to take you all the way to enlightenment. So apropos what you're saying, your spiritual practice, I hear, is acceptance of whatever is in front of you, whatever's going on around you, whatever. I mean, that is brilliant. I mean, just stick to that. You're fine. I mean, it's great. I mean, because it's really a very demanding spiritual practice that you have set yourself. So, good girl.
It's brutal, Barbara. It's just brutal. And I'm saying that tongue in cheek. I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't change one thing. I wouldn't. It's the way that the universe works through me is the only way they can work through me. Whew. Let's talk about our topic is flow and how to create more flow. So,
well, actually, I mean, your spiritual practice, acceptance, is the key to creating flow. I mean, what else do you need to create
mm-hmm.
flow? I mean, acceptance is flow because, I mean, life is what it is. The universe is doing what it does. We don't have a say. So,
no.
You know, loving what is, first of all, accepting what is, and then maybe we'll get to the point where we can say loving what is, like Byron
mm-hmm.
Katie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but acceptance is, you know, the calibration, the frequency right below love. So accepting what is sort of the prerequisite before you can say loving what is. My son Tim is always teasing me about the jump between from accepting what is to loving what is. And I always say to him, well, sometimes I can do it, but not always. You can feel the difference when I say it, right? Accepting
well,
what is,
there,
you know,
there
accepting
is,
the
there
guy
is
in the bank and then loving the guy in the bank. That would be a little bit more of a stretch, right?
Yeah, but you know what? You know what the bottom line is? You're absolutely right, but this is the key. This is why I want that stretch. This is why I want to stretch. This is why I want to go to love so quickly, because I know without a doubt, that everything that happens to me is for my evolution, is for my betterment, is for my growth,
mm.
is to higher my vibration. So yeah, I love all of it, even though I'm in the middle of it. I'm like, ugh, I'm loving it because talking to you now, I'm even loving that bank experience even more than I did when I was in it. Yeah, I mean, come on!
Really?
What a great experience to feel that and know that next week, 2 weeks, I won't even have those feelings. Next week, 2 weeks, I can sit and stand in that bank teller line for a half hour and be okay. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I love it.
Brilliant, brilliant. So what you're saying is that there's actually more and more flow in your life each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean,
you said it earlier, too. You said it. You said something behind you and it's picking you up and is pushing, not pushing, but lifting you and lifting you and lifting you. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and you said it, too. You said it gets faster and faster and faster
mm-hmm.
and it just, it's
mm-hmm.
like a, yeah. I totally agree with you and I feel that every single day.
Mm. It's also really interesting because, you know, I sit with people every day. I have clients. I'm a therapist. And working with people every day, and in the hour when they're sitting with me in my chair and I'm doing all this stuff with them, and the watching the way their facial expression changes, their body language changes, They come in, you know, depressed or sad or angry or whatever, and then something happens, somehow I help them maneuver, and then there comes that flow state. I mean, it's just pop, the visible, the way their faces look, the color that comes into their cheeks, the way they walk out compared to the way they walk in. I mean, it's just, then I always know there's a certain moment where I can see, okay, now it's, the shift happened. Now they got something that, you know, that they were in flow. It's like, it's just magic. It's like,
mm-hmm.
Amazing.
You're describing their energy shift.
Exactly. It's the energy shift, and it's like, I mean, I always feel so in awe that it somehow or other I can talk them up the emotional scale, you could say, that I can sort of, you start out with wherever they're at, and then you
mm-hmm.
sort of a little bit allow, you know, try to find out what is it, and what is it that's sort of blocking their energy, right?
Mm-hmm,
and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, like, actually a little bit like the exercise you just said about the bank. So what is the hidden gift here? Why is your life better? Why is the universe giving you this? And all those questions are kind of like triggers to sort of make the energy start moving. Oh, you mean it's not just the end of the world, or it's not such a catastrophe. There, you know, and to sort of get them moved, the focus and the feeling nature to see, okay, yeah, I mean, actually, this was an amazing experience, as you say, with the bank, that there's a gift here, there's many gifts here, and then starting to, then it's just, I mean, I do it every day, several times a day with people. It's like, it's just so much fun to see when the flow comes. It's like,
mm-hmm.
it's invisible. It's just amazing. So I really know that you can actually consciously work on that, as you are also describing. You can consciously become aware of when we're not in flow, because we know it doesn't feel, there's something blocking something, right? And then flow state arises, it's like, as we said, the wind is at your back, the wave is at your back. There's some kind of movement that just feels so delicious.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine being, having the patience of the universe?
I don't even know if I would use the word patience. I mean, the universe is all that is.
Right. That. Okay. But yes.
Yeah.
Words are limiting,
aren't
they?
Like, yeah, definitely, because of you, I would say, I mean, the infinite intelligence, infinite love, all, you know, the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, I mean, that's what the universe is, so I don't think patience is really an issue.
Well, when I say patience, I mean the time that it takes to create these worlds. I mean, what was it, 500 billion years to create our planet? And just so patience, I understand when you say patience isn't the word, but to be able, for me, to be able to just, for me to wait and be patient, I don't know, is a gift. Is one of the gifts that I want more than. I mean, it's one of my greatest gifts to be able to be patient with everybody, and including myself, and be okay with however long anything takes. Maybe that's better to describe it, or how long anything takes. Not to have that even as an issue with me.
Well, really, what you're talking about is the whole concept of time. I mean, time is a mental construction. Time. There is no such thing as time. I mean,
that's right.
Everything is now. There is no yesterday, and there is no tomorrow. Then we're already in the mental construction. So time, patience, and all of that is really, they're all just our mental, the way that we try to understand and cope with the reality that we're in. But
it's an illusion.
Exactly. The more awake you are, the more it is like this moment, this moment, this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Then patience is definitely not necessary either, because the word patience itself implies time. So it becomes a non-issue.
Non-issue. Really. Ooh, I love that. I love that. Mm. I love that. Mm. And you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Mm. So it's also a question about what you're really talking about is presence, being present, and presence is really what we are. We are the presence. And then, you know, it all sort of falls away, and then you are just present.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can stand in the line at the bank forever, right? I mean, it doesn't matter.
that's what I'm saying. Yes. Yes,
good
so when
girl,
I really, 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 really have that in every cell of my body, right now it's in maybe 80% of my cells. I need it in 100% of my cells, and that's just a number I'm throwing out. When I really have that, call me next week and I'll have it.
I would say that one of the really good meditations that's really powerful that I use, it's really great for this, is this is meditating on the presence. In other words, to sit and become aware of that you are aware. To sit and to notice that there is, you know, whatever's going on, the thoughts arising, all the stuff I describe in The Awakening Human Being is really about the witnessing, the presence. And that shift when you do that meditation and you actually realize that you are the presence. I mean, it seems in the beginning like there's two. There's like, you know, you with all your mind chatter, and then you notice that who is it or what is it that is aware of that? And that is the field of consciousness. That's the presence. That's your true nature. And that's you. And then all of this other stuff that we're talking about, it certainly falls away, because it's that state is so powerful. There is nowhere to go, because there is nowhere to go and there is nothing to do. It's home.
Yeah.
So to cultivate, I mean, to stand in a position like go back to the bank, that's the kind of meditation you can do standing there, and then it becomes a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, easy peasy if you notice that.
Mm-hmm. I went into that state while you were talking.
Good.
Listening to you.
I did. Yeah, that's really good, because I did too, because it's the triggers, it's the words you could say are kind of like signposts that can lead us to these profound states of awareness. Excellent.
One of the my son, is that Tim in the background?
You can hear him?
Yes, my ears are very good.
I just heard him too. He's actually been lecturing tonight. He just came back, and I heard he went into the office. I'm sitting in the other room. He was giving a big lecture tonight about his relationship myths book.
I love that book too. But yeah, I could hear him. I actually sent him an email earlier today about the whole cover thing for my book. But I digress. And I say Tim only because I have my boy. And he came up with an exercise a couple of weeks ago about exercise, game, whatever you want to call it, about how to stay in the present moment. And it's really kind of fun using –
What's his name, Nathan?
Nathan. He's the one that wrote and sang the song. Remember the reality spirituality?
Oh, right. Nathan. Right, Nathan. Okay.
Nathan. And he came up with using the five senses. Of course, we can use our six senses, but using the five senses and just like you were talking about, just witnessing and just being aware. So you can just use your sight and what am I seeing? Okay, a bookcase, candles burning, a chair, a computer. Oh, what color? Blue, red, green, and just start noticing and saying out loud, okay, what am I looking at? And then you can go to the touch and how do the clothes feel on my body, or how does my hand feel touching my leg, or anything with touching, and then you can go to the sounds and you can put combination together, and then it's just a fun way to practice staying in the moment.
Brilliant. It's excellent. I'm doing stuff like that all the time. Very powerful meditations.
Yeah. So
it's
give
all
me
about
a moment.
It's all about being present. It's all about, so those kind of triggers, you know, we need those things to sort of trigger the state in us. And once we get the hang of it, it becomes easier and easier to trigger that state. I mean, that state is so blissful. I mean, everything is perfect. Okay. That is acceptance. That is the love. That it's all there. I mean, it's nothing we have to create, but to get in contact with it, especially because there is so much noise and distraction in the world that we live in our daily lives, the information technology, the bombardment that we are witnessing every day. So it takes a bit of doing to not to watch the television all the time, or not to be glued to your computer screen all the time, right? You know, how we get addicted to that stuff, which takes us away from who we really are. So what else? Let's just talk about that for a minute. So what kind of things do you do if you really want to trigger the flow state? I mean, I know, for example, I'll give you an example of what I love to do. I live here in Scandinavia, and it's friggin' cold here. And I grew up, spent every winter in Miami Beach, so it was really a shock for me to come to Scandinavia when I did. And I love to swim, and I love to go in the water, and the water is simply so cold here, even in the summer. But it's like I have cultivated it. And Denmark is a water country. There's beaches everywhere. The water is everywhere. So I go in the water a lot, and it's freezing. But it's like, it's something about that experience. It's, for me, it's like, you know, the great experience, like sex and creativity. Well, going in the water is right up there for me. And it triggers that. It's a kind of, you know, it's like when I come out of that freezing water, and it's like just the intense bliss of being so, it's so cold, so you definitely don't have time to think about paying the rent or whatever. You're just so present in the moment. So those kind of experiences, talking about cultivating the flow state, we can use them consciously to trigger this intense awareness of the present moment and being fully present in our lives, and the you know, the glory of nature, the whatever it is of this moment. So what is it that triggers it for you?
Well, I just want to just comment on your water thing. I too love the water, and the water is a place where you just float and you feel free, and the water is just so, I'm just so connected to water. I'm connected to water, trees, and mountains. I don't know why, but I'm just connected. And I love the water because you can lay on your back. You can just you know, on your back, floating back, not even moving, and you just feel connected.
Well, I can hear that your water is a lot not so cold as my water.
No. California, honey.
And
no,
the ocean here. And it's so cold, the water here, that you don't lay on your back and float. I mean, maybe in the summer you have one or two days where you can do that, but normally you don't float.
Okay, so then I have questions. So you don't have any recreation swimming pools where you are?
Yeah, you do. Of course they do, many, but I don't like that. My thing is the sea, the ocean, the waves, swimming pools, yeah, of course. They're actually pretty cold here, too, the swimming pools, compared to what you're used to, but they're not as freezing as the sea. The sea is really, they have people here who the winter bathers, they're called, that go swimming every day all year round. You know, even if they have to chop a hole in the ice, they do it.
Oh my goodness! Well, see, they're really devoted to their. People are so different because I call them fish. You know, people that have to be in the water, I just say, you're a fish. what do I do specifically? One of the things that I've had to that I do, and I'm getting even better and better and better and better at it. In fact, I think I'm not going to even give myself a grade, but it's just about being conscious versus being unconscious. Mm-hmm. And I am conscious. I'm conscious of I'm just conscious, very conscious of moments and what's going on, I'm talking about. Yeah. But one of the things as far as being in the moment, I have a lot of them. When I teach my aerobic classes, I am definitely in the moment. There's nothing else I can think about.
Yeah, I was thinking that you're really an exercise buff, so you must really have a lot of good neuro associations with exercise. So that must be a lot of flow state for you when you teach and when you do aerobics. And I mean, you get that endorphin high, I guess, or what?
I really get my high from being the instructor and yelling at people and making them suffer. I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm up there and faster, longer, harder, making jokes, talking, singing. It's my stage. It's my stage. I am an entertainer when I'm teaching my classes. It's really, really funny. It's fun and funny. Or singing or making little short movies and sending to my son, or making a smoothie, you know, or sitting on the bus, or talking to you. Of course, we're in the moment. Of course, we're flowing. So a lot. It's not anything really. Yeah, it's just. And everybody has their moment and moments.
I think what you're saying now is really important, that everybody has their moments and their things. But what I would like to say to the people who are listening to us, cultivate them. In other words, when you know that, what are the things that, you know, get you in that state, do it more, do it longer. I mean, again, we so many people, when they come to me, you know, it's like, it's such a new concept that they actually should cultivate enjoying themselves. I mean, you know, stop beating yourself up, and what is it that makes your heart sing, and go for it. I mean, and if it is, you know, swimming or being an instructor and shouting at the people, whatever it is that gives you that buzz.
Well, you hit on a really, really important point, and it's especially coming from the teachings of Abraham Hicks. And one of the things that Abraham says is, which is one of my favorite quotes, you can't have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. But one of the things that Abraham always says is joy, have fun, fun, have, you know, do what makes you feel joyful. And that's the name of the game. I mean, feeling happy, feeling joy, that's it. We don't, there's nothing else that we have to do other than feel good about everything.
Exactly. I totally agree. But I mean, also the higher calibration, the high frequency, love, joy, enthusiasm, all that good feeling stuff. I mean, that's has healing power. That's what transforms relationships. That's what makes us a success at what we do. I mean, it's not from anger, depression, fear, worry. Those are not the states that lead us higher. So all of these things, following your joy, getting in the flow state as much as you can, figuring out what makes your heart sing. I mean, these are all the keys to, you know, living a happy life right now. I mean, that, as you say, there's nothing else to it. I mean, we're not going anywhere else. That's it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it, but it's like, but it's also not putting it off until tomorrow. You know, I'll be happy or I'll get in flow when I have enough money in my bank account or when I lose enough weight or when I get a perfect boyfriend or all that stuff. It's like, forget it, right? What can you
know, okay, now you hit on, now you hit another point. I want to ask, I want to ask your thoughts about this. What if you're not able to do anything? What if you are, who knows, maybe you're in a jail cell or maybe you're in a hospital bed. Maybe you, who knows, maybe you're, who knows where you are, but maybe, is it possible or how is it possible?
But now you're connecting joy. Listen to what you're saying. You're connecting joy to the physical body. You're connecting my ability to move. My ability to move my body around, either out of this cell or, I mean, I remember when some years ago I broke my foot when I was out running on the beach, and I had to go with crutches for 3 months, and it was summer, and I couldn't do all. I mean, I really had to look at that one there that I couldn't move, I couldn't go out, I couldn't drive my car, I couldn't do, and if I thought about all that stuff, I was miserable. But if I focused on, I mean, the presence is still there if your foot is broken, I found out. The high states of awareness, they have nothing to do with the physical body. It's also one of the really, really big misunderstandings in our culture. We're so obsessed with the body and our identity. We identify so much with the body, and if it breaks down or, you know, it gets old and all this stuff, and that leaves you up shit creek without a paddle, to say it like it is. I mean, we have to start understanding that that's not where it's at.
I mean, that's what I was trying to say. It was a trick question.
Okay. But anyway, I'm not saying that you shouldn't eat healthy, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't exercise. Of course, I'm not. We should take care of our bodies because we love them, and they're the vehicle of being present on the planet. And you know, it's an amazing gift that we have these bodies, but it's not who we are. We are universal consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And that was my point, that you don't have to do anything. You just are. You just be. You don't have to do, you just have to be. Yeah? Hello? Did I lose Barbara? Oh, oh, Jesus. I lost her. Well, maybe she'll call back. Oh, Jesus. Stream left. We have about 3 minutes left. That's so funny that she hung up the phone on me. Why would she do that? What a bitch. Come on now, everybody. You know that I'm joking. What an interesting. So we're talking about, okay, hold on a second. Hello.
Something about what I said. The line exploded, and I was
talking. And I said, "Hello, Barbara. Hello." And then I looked and I saw that the line was dropped. And I said, "That Barbara, she hung up on me. What a bitch!"
I didn't. It was like I said, you know, you're the presence, and then there was like this explosion on the line. I thought to myself, okay, so the frequency of our conversation was just so high, Rebecca.
It is high, and what I was saying is you were absolutely right. It's not about doing anything. It's just about being. It's about being, not doing, being. So like you said, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to. Your body means, I've given the example of a jail cell just for an example, but no, you can be in a jail cell and be content and be happy and know who you are and be free and feel that connection to the universe. Mm. You don't have to do anything to feel it.
Mm. That is so important to understand. I mean, if you think about the great Tibetan monks that went up into the mountains and sat in a cave for 20 years, Milarepa and these people, I mean, they did it voluntarily. They didn't want to have any contact or move or do anything. They did, because that, they wanted to cultivate the inner states, because they knew that that was where the true freedom was to be found. So, yeah, what a great conversation we have had again.
I love it. I love it, Barbara Berger. I love it. As usual, we're just the best.
Yes.
You're the best. I'm the best.
Yes.
Our audience is the best. We are just the greatest. Okay, so
thank you for having me again. And let me just tell our listeners, go in if they want to know more about me, beamteam.com. That's the website, beamteam.com. You can find out about all the books, and you can download the Mental Laws for free. And you can contact me if you'd like to talk to me. I also do sessions by Skype, actually, with people who live far away. So anyone who wants to talk more with me, please let me know, and we'll set something up. And Rebecca, thank you for having me again. And should we continue talking next month?
Yes, I think so. I think we're a hit. What do you think?
Okay, well then we'll talk a bit on email, and I'll be back for more.
We'll set it up.
Stuff.
Thank you so much, Barbara, for being on the show.
Yeah,
I really appreciate you, and
I
love our conversations.
Yeah, me too. You keep up the good work.
Okay, I will. Have a great evening.
Thank you. God bless. Bye bye.
Bye. Okay, everybody, you have been listening to Reality Spirituality, and this was a special edition of Reality Spirituality, Tuesday in the middle of the week with Barbara Berger. Oh, what a wonderful show. Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday at 7 a.m., and if you like more information on the coaching programs I offer, you can visit my website at www.RebeccaNorrington.com, RebeccaNorrington.com, and go to the private sessions tab. If you'd like to receive my free monthly newsletter, send an email to info@RebeccaNorrington.com. You can follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington, and if you've enjoyed the show, go to Facebook and like Reality Spirituality. You know, it was really interesting, that whole conversation with her, because we talked about it before. We're all so different. We are different. And even sometimes, you know, even the words, for me, words have a different definition. I define words differently, or I have a perspective of a word differently than you. And so know that, my dear audience, know that you are unique and you are special, and you are an extension of the universe. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend, and remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Let's connect again on Saturday. We have a guest. Oh my gosh, Blaise Lazzoni is on Saturday's show, and then we have a Chris Miller, I believe, is on Sunday show. Anyway, you've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Have a great, great, great day and life.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLN?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Good.
Get real
good.
Get real good.
Now,
that's
what I'm about to say.
Time to get.